Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Verse 31, Daniel said, "In your vision, your majesty," speaking to the king, "you saw standing before you a huge shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. As you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron." Let me have my mic in the monitor. "Clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. That was the dream. Now we will tell you, the king, what it means. Your majesty, you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabited world and has put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold. But after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise and take your place. After that kingdom has fallen, yet a third kingdom, represented by bronze, will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom, there'll be a fourth one as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash and crush all previous empires, just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and toes you saw were a combination of iron and baked clay, showing that this kingdom will be divided, or a mixture, like iron mixed with clay. It will have some of the strength of iron, but while some parts of it will be as strong as iron, other parts will be as weak as clay. The mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage, but they will not hold together just as iron and clay don't mix. During the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain, though not by human hands, that crushed to pieces the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain. One of the things that separates the Bible from all other religious books, good morning, by the way, is, Pittsburgh, Anastasia, that's where I'm at. Hope you're having a good day wherever you are on this Sunday morning. What day are we on of the fast? I haven't been counting because it's too long to count. Day 17, 40 days of prayer and fasting for America. Thank you for joining us. I want to greet a church in Hobbs, New Mexico that wrote into us and said their whole church is fast. 221, I think they said, signed up at their church. So we're at 1,300. Hey, Aaron, I got your son right off camera where you can't see him. Love you. Love you, Alexandra. Mickey, good to see you. JD, Seminole, Florida. Love to see where everybody's from. Melbourne, Australia. Good to see you. Good to see everybody on the app. Kirk, watching from Wales. That's awesome. Birthplace of Gareth Bale. Fort Worth, Texas. Kayla in Massachusetts. Great to see you. The thing that separates the Bible from every other religious book is it shows you things that are to come. Now, you could spend that passage I just read you. You could spend your whole life studying just that passage. And many people have, because Daniel prophesies. Hey, Katie. Wow, a lot of people on this morning. Glad to have you on. Daniel prophesies the world empires. Let me see if Mr. Dake has anything to say about that. I would reckon that he will. plenty to say about it. Well, too much to get into. Anyway, the head, he told him, so you know you're not off base interpreting this way. He said, you're the head of gold. That's the Babylonian Empire. Then another empire will rise up. That's what the chest was. And so he prophesies, Daniel, all the way thousands of years ago, prophesies the major world empires. And obviously we're at the mixture stage now of clay and iron. In fact, I want to read this later today, because it's one of those things I've studied, but I could refresh. The main point I'm making, and if you've seen the title, today's 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. Number one, the Bible shows you things that are to come, because the Bible is an inspired book. The Bible says all scripture is inspired by God, Paul said, and in the original language, it's all scripture is God-breathed. You want to join the fast? You're welcome to join the fast. We're doing 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I think we break on November 4th, so thanks for jumping on with us. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or they are the children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons and daughters of God. So part of your birthright when you become a born-again Christian is the Bible says God's Spirit dwells in you, and His Spirit has a leading capacity. Remember Jesus said, it's better for you if I go than if I stay, for if I stay, I will not send another. He is the Holy Spirit who is with you now, but later will be in you. And when He comes, He will lead you. He'll show you things that are to come. So part of the Holy Spirit's function in the life of a believer, part of the Holy Spirit's function in the life of the believer is a leading. So you have, like Daniel had, that's an operation of the gift of the Holy Spirit called the word of wisdom, very pronounced and strong. I mean, to be able to tell, of course you see it with Joseph too, there'll be 7 good economic years, and then there'll be 7 bad economic years, he told Pharaoh, and the 7 bad economic years will be so bad that it'll swallow up the progress of the 7 good years. That's the word of wisdom, that's exact. Then there's a lesser operation of the Holy Spirit, which is just leading. Like, I'll give you an example. A few years back, it was a little while ago now, maybe 6 years or so, my cousin Teddy was going to go preach at a church in the Midwest, and he was with his father. He met up with his father on the road and was headed to that next church in a few days. And when he met up with my Uncle Ted said, has that pastor that you're going to preach for canceled on you yet? And Teddy said, no, he hasn't canceled on me. In fact, I just spoke to him today. I'm going to preach there, and it was like in 3 days. And my Uncle Ted acted like Teddy had never said anything. He said, when a pastor cancels a meeting, I find it's usually for one of 3 reasons. And he listed off 3 reasons. And the pastor called the next morning and said, Teddy, I hate to do this to you, but I have to cancel our meeting because, and he listed off all 3 reasons that my Uncle Ted had said. Now, my Uncle Ted didn't say, I have a word from the Lord. The place where you're going to go, they're going to cancel the meeting. But he had a leading in his spirit. And then really, as you learn to follow that leading, old timers in church, in spirit-filled church, call it the still small voice yielding to the Spirit. There's a book called The Hidden, I think E.W. Kenyon wrote it, The Hidden Man of the Heart, or it might just be called The Hidden Man. You have a spirit on the inside of you. The Bible says that I preserve you blameless spirit, soul, and body. Write those words down. Spirit, soul, and body. Nice to have you in Sioux City, Iowa. Spirit, soul, and body. So you are, there's three parts to you on earth. You have a spirit man who possesses a soul. Your soul is your mind, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. And you're housed in a body. And then the body has desires that are opposite to the desires of the spirit. If you gave your body, if you're ruled by your flesh, you won't act much different than an animal acts. Because your flesh doesn't really have any productive desires. Your flesh's desire is to survive. To eat. To sleep. To use the bathroom. To have sex. Those are the desires of the flesh. Like a dog. And if you follow, the Bible says if you follow the dictates of the flesh. So your flesh, if you allow it, will pull you in a direction. It says if you follow the dictates of your flesh, there's death. But if you follow the leading of the Spirit, there's life and peace. So if you're ruled by your flesh, you'll die. You'll end up on drugs. You'll end up an alcoholic. You'll end up in prison. Your flesh has no restraint. Your flesh is the desires are unintelligent. They'll lead you to death. So that's why it's important to keep your flesh under, which is part of the role of fasting and prayer. If you follow your mind by itself, your mind is prone to fear and worry and anxiety. You know, when you hear somebody say, I need prayer because my mind just races at night and I have these thoughts that come. That's somebody that's ruled by their mind. So just like you have to put your body under subjection to the Spirit, you have to put your mind under subjection to the Spirit. That's why the Bible says that your mind be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. Because if you make the Word, your spirit filled with God's Word, the thing that rules your life, then the Bible says any thought that comes in that would exalt itself against God and His Word, you take those thoughts and cast it down. I'm not going to think about that. What if my money dries up and I lose my house? There's no verse in the Bible that says that's going to happen. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and never to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, a glorious future. So anything that contradicts that scripture for my life, I don't receive it. My mind's not just allowed to think about whatever it wants to think about. Nice to see you in Arkansas. Your spirit man is the part of you that will live forever, and your spirit man is worth developing by time in the Word, by going to the house of God on Sunday under an anointed pastor, doing things that feed your spirit. Most people only feed their body. Some people feed their body and their intellect, but very few people feed their spirit. So what I want to get into, the Bible says, as many, not you don't have to be a prophet or somebody special, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons and daughters of God. Every born-again Christian has the capacity to be led by the Spirit. You never go backwards if you'll listen to the still small voice that God put on the inside of you. Thank you for liking the broadcast. Thank you for sharing the broadcast. The more positive interactions there are, it helps with all the people that have negative interactions and report us for being hateful, terrible people. So thank you on Facebook. I want to talk to you about that being led by the Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 10, and then today's title is 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. These are not 16 prophecies. Some of them aren't even predictions as much as their thoughts. But just like I gave you the ones in the beginning of March, when they were predicting 1.2 million people were going to die from COVID just in California, Love you too, Kofi. And that between 2 and 4 million people were going to die, and that every hospital bed in the United States would be full by May 8th. And I have all those tweets saved by experts. And that every hospital bed would be full, and people would be administering palliative care to their loved ones. I told you that wasn't going to happen. Why? I didn't bear a witness in my spirit that that was going to happen. I didn't feel like a plague worse than the ones mentioned in Revelation was going to come before the tribulation. Otherwise, the great tribulation would be a step down from what was happening before the tribulation. So I made predictions in my spirit back then. If you go back and watch them, they're pretty accurate. And of course, I haven't gone back over it because it's not over yet. Anyway, I'm going to wait till the whole thing's over, and we'll see how the predictions played out. They said the Dow Jones was going to go to 9,000. And I told you that the economy is going to drop, and I felt it would quickly rebound. And that's what it did. Of course, March 16th through April 1st, I thought, man, I wish I hadn't said that on air, because it looked like it was going down. But now what the Dow Jones is less than about 1,000 off of its all-time high. The NASDAQ is at an all-time high, the S&P high. So those weren't prophecies, those were predictions based on what I feel in my spirit. Not just like my rogue spirit, my spirit that's tied in with the Word of God. So we're almost 20 days into a fast, and I want to give you some things I feel in my spirit concerning the next 5 years. Hey, you're in Apollo Beach? I didn't know that. I've rented a house there a couple times, so you're not far from Tampa. Good to have you on. Nice to have you in South Africa. So nice having everybody on. Again, if you want to show me where you're watching from, I like seeing that. It's nice to just sit in one spot and be able to speak to people all over the world. I want to say hi to all the pastors that are tuning in, getting ready for church on your way in. I believe this broadcast will be a blessing to you. Acts chapter 10. Peter had just seen a vision. Acts 10:19. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, 3 men have come looking for you. Get up and go downstairs and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I've sent them. So Peter went down because men were looking for him downstairs, and he said, I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? And he ends up going with them to Cornelius' house. So he had a leading by the Spirit. Of course, the Holy Ghost spoke to him directly. These men aren't coming to arrest you. I've sent them. You can go with them without worry. It's a wonderful thing to be led by the Spirit. It keeps you out of the worry that's in this world and the uncertainty that's in the world. Because the Lord God said His Spirit will show you things that are to come, so you can have what's called foresight. These are 16 predictions that I would like to make concerning the next 5 years, and I'm not making them just to make predictions and we can see whether I was right or not. These will help you. Turn to Malachi chapter 3, because this is going to be kind of like a baseline for the rest of time. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In His presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared Him and always thought about the honor of His name. They will be my people, says the Lord of hosts. On the day when I act in judgment, they'll be my own special treasure, and I will spare them as a father spares an obedient and dutiful child. Now listen to this, Malachi 3:18. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. chapter 4, verse 1. The Lord of hosts says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They'll be consumed, roots, branches, and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of hosts. Prediction number one, you are seeing now, and you will continue to see a more pronounced separation between the righteous and the wicked. Number one, you will begin to see a more pronounced separation between the righteous and the wicked. There's people right now, it's like people live in two different worlds right now. You could hang out with me, and 2020 has been the greatest year we've ever had on every metric. And you could hang out with other people, and you'd think you were a half step from the apocalypse. There's a separation, and it's going to continue. It's going to be like people live in two different worlds. The path of the upright, Proverbs chapter 4, the path of the upright shines brighter and brighter until the full light of day. No matter what's going on in the economy, in the political world, the path of the upright shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. That's for those, the path of the upright. Turn to Psalm 1. If I'm not careful, I'm going to stay on this first thing the whole time, and I don't want to do that. But I could talk about this forever. Psalm 1, it's a Bible doctrine. The Bible does not teach ups and downs, good years and bad years. Psalm 1:1. Oh, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Oh, the joys of who? Those who don't follow the advice of the wicked. We would advise churches to shut down during this time. And who are you? You're a Planned Parenthood-backed Department of Health official. I don't follow your advice. Oh, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in every season. Write that down. Bearing fruit in every season. Their leaves never wither. Bearing fruit in every season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in everything they do. Write those three things down. That's for the upright. For those who don't heed the advice of the wicked, who don't stand around with sinners, and who don't sit in the seat of the scornful or join in with mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. Three major blessings. They bear fruit in every season, no down seasons, ever. You know, this year looked like it was going to be a down season, didn't it? Even me, you know, I thought, when this all hit in March, I didn't see any way that it wouldn't take a miracle just to keep your head above water. Food's going to fly off the shelves. There's not going to be enough food left, you know, and I don't know how to hunt or fish. And God proved himself faithful this year, and he deserves all the glory, and he deserves major glory. Because the Bible says if you've committed your way to him and you heed his voice, you'll bear fruit in every season, regardless of what season the world's in. Their leaves never wither. I get leery of of Christian leaders that call this during this COVID season. It's not COVID season for me. And in 2 weeks, it's also not going to be flu season. My seasons don't fall in line with the world's seasons. Bearing fruit in every season. Their leaves, a perpetual spring. Their leaves never wither. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Everything you put your hand to is blessed. But not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. There is going to be essentially what happened in Goshen is going to happen now for the children of God worldwide. When the plagues were sent on Egypt, they never touched where the children of God were. So there's two different paths you can walk on right now. One that leads to destruction and one that keeps going higher and higher from glory to glory, victory to victory, and strength to strength. So if there was ever a time, I mean, that's why we're pressing in and fasting and prayer. This is a time to walk in righteousness because it literally puts you on a different path. Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it's verse 18. The path of the upright shines brighter and brighter until the full light of day. Number one, you will continue to see a more pronounced separation between the righteous and the wicked. There's an old preacher. He's in heaven now. He used to preach on end time Bible prophecy and judgment that was coming on the world and all that. Very stern minister. And every Monday he'd come into the bank smiling and whistling, depositing huge amounts of money. One day the guy running the bank got really irritated at him and said, "Aren't you on TV telling everybody how bad the world is and the world's going to end? Then you come in here every Monday smiling and whistling, depositing huge amounts of cash. Don't you think that's a bit hypocritical?" And he said, "Not at all." He said, "Well, you said the world's going to be judged and you're in here smiling and whistling." He said, "I don't live in that world." And I want you to write that down. I don't live in that world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. I don't live in this world. The Bible says you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. This world is not my home, nor does it have any control over me. You cannot bless what God has cursed, but you cannot curse who God has blessed. You cannot curse who God has blessed. Though 1,000 fall at your one side and 10,000 are dying all around you, these evils will not touch you, though you'll see how the wicked are punished. Psalm 91:8. Number two, this goes right in line with it. There will be more Christian millionaires made in the next 5 years than at any point in history. And of course, a million isn't that big a deal anymore. It's not like being a millionaire in 1905. It's not even a high amount of money, thanks to inflation. But there will be more Christian millionaires and multimillionaires made in the next 5 years than at any point in history. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And there will be a supernatural end time wealth transfer, and it's taking place right now. I want you to write this down. All of the money and resources that have ever been on planet Earth are still on Earth. Other than the little bit that was taken out on some space trips to the International Space Station and to the moon, nothing has left the Earth. All the gold's still here. All the oil's still here. And so anybody that gets you in a mindset that the world's running out of resources, it's not true. They're just being shaken out of some people's hands and into other people's hands. And you get to determine which group you're in. Number two, I believe, and again, these are not prophecies, these are predictions. I believe more Christian millionaires and multimillionaires will be made in the last 5 years than at any point in history. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Step one, find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. Let me read it in the King James. I think it's in the King James that it adds something that I like. Ecclesiastes 2:26. Ecclesiastes is right before Song of Solomon, where you realize that things that wooed a woman thousands of years ago would get you slapped today. You have the neck of a deer. Apparently that made women swoon over you in Solomon's day. I don't know how well it would work now. Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner he gives the task to gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. Supernatural wealth transfer. In fact, another one pops into my head offhand. I think, we'll see how good my memory is. Go over to the left a little bit. Job 27:13. Is it Job 27:13? We'll see. No, Job 27:16. I was off by three verses. Evil people may have piles of money and may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing and they'll spend all the money. That's the kind of verse you could go to Sunday school for 18 years and you never got it for a memory verse one time. Job 27:16-17. Evil people may have piles of money and may store away mounds of clothing, but the righteous will wear that clothing and will spend all the money. Supernatural wealth transfer. Of course, the verse that the Lord put on my spirit for the theme of our theme verse, if you followed us in prayer and fasting in January, was Amos 9:13. The day is coming, says the Lord, where the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. Accelerated harvest. So that's the era we're in now. If the Dow Jones drops to 300 tomorrow, it won't affect where I'm going one bit. I'm going to the top because the Bible says so. And if you've made the decision to walk in righteousness and be led by the Spirit, don't let anybody deceive you. You're going to the top. You remember a guy had a viral Facebook video back in July or August. He said, the Lord showed me that the autumn of this year is going to be a very difficult time. There's going to be food shortage. There's going to be a shortage of money. coming up to the election. Well, that'll have to take place pretty quick if his prophecy is going to be true. Some people just see stink and rot all the time, but I don't see that. And I'm going to tell you, even if that happened, it would not affect my food. I would still, not only would I have enough for me, I'd have enough to feed other people. Because I don't walk on that path. If all the food dried up globally, ravens would come and feed me, like they did with Elijah. It's one of the perks of the job when you work for the Lord. Number two, there will be more Christian millionaires and multimillionaires in the made in the next 5 years than at any point in history. It's already happening. Number three, there will be mass closing down of many mainline denominational churches. Number three, 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. In America, there will be a mass closing down of many mainline churches. Many were hanging on by a thread anyway, and their poor reaction to COVID finished them off. All of the denominations that have embraced the world's teaching on sexuality that's opposite of the Bible have been emptied out. They don't have funding, and many of their buildings are closing down. You're going to see many, many mainline churches close down. I'm talking about United Presbyterian Church. I'm talking about the Methodist Church, evangelical churches, African Methodists. You're going to see their churches rapidly, many of them rapidly close. So, I mean, it's not much of a prediction. It's already happening right now. They're not going up. They're going down by their own numbers. That will accelerate. Number four, because they don't have people coming anymore, and they don't have any funding organically through tithes and offerings, because no one's getting saved and baptized and being added to the church like they were in the book of Acts. The money's dried up. I mean, a lot of these churches have had their buildings paid off since the early 1900s, and they have so little money that they can't even keep the heat on in the winter, so they have to close the building down. When Jesus pulls the plug on you, you know the plug's been pulled. You can't even afford to keep the electricity on. Because, number four, because they don't have any money. Those mainline denominations are going to open themselves up to New World Order funding, and along with that comes New World Order policies. So you're going to see a strengthening, I'll call it a New World Order churches, that support everything that the world supports and are against things in the Bible that contradict what the world is for. Pro-gay marriage, anti-Israel, pro-socialism. What could I add to that? Pro-abortion. Pro-redistribution of wealth, which is a fancy word for theft. Telling people that have money they need to pay their fair share in taxes. What's your fair share of what I legally earned? That's just legal theft. So you're going to start to see, and you're already seeing it, George Soros funded You know, he'll only live so much longer, so there'll be somebody that takes his place. Where they know those churches are hurting, so they're going to offer them to inject them with cash, provided they now start, they're going to try to reshape what the church believes. So if you believe the Bible as it's been taught for 2,000 years, they're going to paint you as a right-wing extremist, some fringe Christian group, but really, like you're already seeing right now, you know, 60 well-known evangelical pastors have signed on to support a pro-abortion candidate. They're going to try to make it seem like by getting numbers of these people that have the name recognition of Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Church of England, Anglican, whatever, Catholic, and use them to promote as if the Bible teaches what the Antichrist spirit that the Bible speaks of is trying to promote. So because those denominations are failing, they're going to get preyed on by globalist powers that are going to use their name influence to try to influence what the church believes and begin to paint people that are pro-Israel, pro-traditional family, pro-life, as actually heretics, that's not what the Bible teaches. Prediction number five, those mainline churches in the new, the word allegiances is coming to me, but that's not the right term. These like allied groupings together they make, which there's a word for that if I had a larger vocabulary, if it was later in the day. Leslie said, where are you getting the 15 predictions from? It's 16, and I'm getting them from my spirit. They're here. Mainline churches in the these allied groups that they make, like coalitions. So you're going to start to see in the next 5 years, you're going to start to see alliances. That's what I was looking for. Sorry, it took me 2 minutes to think of a word. These alliances they form, you're going to start to see evangelical Christian alliances that are for Israel having to give up statehood, for gay marriage, for abortion. Evangelical alliances that are for things the Bible condemns and condemning things that the Bible's for. Number five, you will see those mainline church alliances begin to fiercely persecute ministries and churches that don't hold those positions. They're not only going to be paid to hold those positions, they're going to be paid and backed with lawyers, legal firepower, to spearhead initiatives to shut down churches that hold those traditional views. It'll be more fierce in Europe and Canada, but they're going to push in America as well. The harshest persecution, let me ask you a question. Where did the harshest persecution come from against Jesus? The government or the old established religious order that hated that he carried the power of the Holy Ghost to heal the sick and cast out demons? And it'll be the same in this period of time. The harsh persecution. Let me tell you this. Back in 2005 to 2007, Senator Charles Grassley, I think he had seven ministries that he felt like they were abusing their 501c3, that they had jets, those ministers lived in homes that were too nice. So he wanted to begin investigating Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, and some others. Benny Hinn, I think, was one of them. Do you know what the reaction was? I remember sitting in a car with two ministers who I like, and they were for what the senator was doing. Yeah, I don't like those ministers anyway, you know. And these two guys, intelligent guys, they said, you know, they give us a bad name. It would be good if the government did some kind of thing where you had to officially recognize a church so that just anybody couldn't become a minister. I mean, how little knowledge of history do you have to make a statement that asinine? Oh, you want the government to be in charge of who can be a preacher and who can't be a preacher? Yeah, I don't foresee any problems happening with that. So you have very dumb people. They're nice people. They're good people. They love God. They have no brain for end time Bible things. You know, they want this to go away, everything to go away. It's not going to go away in the sense that we are in a new era where Jesus said in Matthew 24, you will be hated because of your allegiance to me. Not because you don't do things correctly. Jesus, what do you think? If Jesus would have used more tact and knew how to act correctly, he could have avoided crucifixion. No. Why was he crucified? He said, I've done many good works. For which good work are you going to stone me for? Because you're a mere man and you claim to be the Son of God. They didn't like his doctrine. They don't like the born-again doctrine. They don't like casting out devils. They don't like healing the sick. They don't like that you say there's salvation in no other name except Jesus Christ. That'll be enough. Mainline church alliances will begin fierce persecution of Christians. Number six. A new crop of strong churches will arise all over the world. Many of these old Ichabod churches that the presence of God hasn't been in 150 years, when they lose their property, they'll be bought up by young church planters. And what used to take a church 15 or 20 years to do, own their own property and have their building, in the next 5 years, you're going to start to see people move into those vacant properties and buy them for pennies on the dollar. And there will be large, spirit-filled, strong churches all over the world, more than ever before. Number six, a new crop of strong churches will arise all over the world. Soul-winning churches, spiritual churches. Number seven, the Hollywood movie industry is permanently crippled. Darby said in YouTube, sorry, I don't see that happening. No new preachers are standing now. It's the old preachers doing the battle. You're blind. You're missing it. This isn't a prediction of what's good. This is already happening. Thousands of people being baptized right near the Antifa riots. I don't see no new preachers are standing. Go look up what Sean Foyt's doing. Would you consider me an old preacher? I wouldn't. So for you to say there's no new preacher standing, you're blind. I would say stupid, but I'm in a good mood, so I'm trying to be more kind. Okay, well, if you know Sean, how are you going to say no new preachers are standing? It's all the old ones. He's not an old preacher. Have some coffee and wake up and listen, because you don't know what you're talking about. or log off. Won't make any difference to me. A new crop of strong churches will arise all over the world. Number seven, the Hollywood movie industry is permanently crippled. I didn't say finished. There'll always be demand for entertainment. But movie theaters, now I told you churches are going to lose their property and close down and they're going to be bought up. And now you're going to have hundreds. First of all, before COVID hit, the movie theater industry was already hanging on by a thread. So a lot of what happened with COVID, it didn't introduce things. It just kind of accelerated what was already happening. I do believe there's a judgment on Hollywood. Not whether God's involved or not, it's not important. The wages of sin is death. And the sin, I don't just mean that they've put on the screen. The things that have come out about what goes on behind the scenes in Hollywood. There's a judgment that's going through Hollywood like a cancer. And so when I say permanently crippled, I don't mean finished. I mean, I didn't say it's permanently dead. I said permanently crippled. Hollywood has suffered a blow that I don't believe it'll recover from. In other words, the peak years of Hollywood are not in the future. The peak years are in the past. And they're going to do their best to tread water from here on out. Number seven, the Hollywood movie industry is permanently crippled and judged. Number eight, sports in general will never reach the level that they left. I also believe the two idols of Western culture, Hollywood and sports, I believe there's a blow to each of them, a judgment of those idols. I don't know if anybody on here besides me has tried to get back into watching sports, and it's like, you're almost like trying to do something that you used to enjoy. It's like an old restaurant your wife and you used to enjoy going to, and the service has gone downhill and it doesn't look nice anymore on the inside, and you kind of just go because of memories you had of it, and it's like, I don't know that we're going to go here anymore. That's what it felt like watching sports. Part of that is because whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, when you don't do something for 5 months, the habit's broken. So even when it starts up again, it's just not the same. I believe those two idols have both suffered a crippling blow. And their peak years are not in the future. They are in the past. Number eight, sports will not reach the level that it left. NBA Finals ratings down 43% from last year. I think the lowest since 1994. And I don't believe it's going to come back like it anywhere near where it was. Number nine, if Donald Trump wins the election, the church will do well. You can question his motives or his thinking. But one thing you can't question is that Donald Trump has been a friend to the church, not an enemy. If he wins, it's going to extend a window for the church to operate, I wouldn't say free from persecution in America, but you have a friend at the federal level and a Department of Justice that would step in if religious freedom was encroached. Number nine, if Donald Trump wins the election, the church will do well in America. Number 10, if Joe Biden wins, the church will do even better. Why? It's pretty apparent if Joe Biden wins the election, he's not really going to be the one calling the shots. I think even Democrats would concede that. You would have people at the federal level who don't like the church, who view the church as anti-climate change people that are holding back progress. You know, you would have people that are for what the church is against and against what the church is for, which would be a threat to religious liberty. You know, if you think that's too strong, I could pull clips from this week of Democrat commentators saying that people who believe what Christians believe need to be pulled out and removed from society. There would be a push to remove the influence of the church from society. So you say, Jonathan, I thought you said if Biden wins, the church will do better. Because for whatever reason, Christians do terribly with from a standpoint of victory. Christians don't know what to do with victory. It's like they only know how to... speaking of sports, there's teams that I've followed that the only way they know how to play well is if they're down. In hockey, if they go down by two goals, they turn into like an all-star team. But they don't know how to play with a lead. If they have a lead, it's almost like, oh no. How long is it going to take before they blow the lead? That's what, to me, Christians have seemed like. If things are in their favor, they go to sleep. If their backs are up against the wall, then it pulls the fight out of them. Which I'll just throw this in on the side. If you can learn to press in to God when things are going well, things will stay going well. Instead of push for miracles when your back's against the wall, get the miracle, get above water, and then go back to sleep till you sink again and repeat. If Biden wins, it'll amp up persecution against the church, and because of that perceived threat, the church will do even better. So either way the election goes, it's not going to affect how the true church performs, because Jesus is not coming back for a defeated church. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It'll amp up the hunger that's in ministers. Look what happened during COVID-19. My Uncle Ted prophesied back in October of 2019 that a great shaking is going to come on the world. The finances of America and the world will be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There'll be a new type of terrorism released on America, which is what this biological attack was. When he gave that message, the economy was the highest it's ever been. Unemployment was at its lowest. He had ministers tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then when COVID hit, the same ministers called back and said, "Did the Lord show you anything else? Did the Lord show you anything about me?" So people go to sleep when things are good. Oh no, they don't see anything coming. And then when they're pressed, they start to dig in to the things of God. Number 10, 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. Number 10, if Biden wins, the church will do even better. Number 11, if Joe Biden wins, these are 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. So here's a prediction. If Joe Biden wins, you'll see the first charismatic church, like a well-known charismatic church or ministry, that performs a gay marriage. That hasn't happened yet. You have churches that perform gay marriages, but you've not had a charismatic, spirit-filled church perform a gay marriage in America yet, a well-known one anyway. But if Joe Biden wins, you will see the first one, and I have two that if I wanted to make a prediction who it would be that I would put my money on. But I'm not going to say. Because I'm not going to run somebody down publicly for what I think they might do. But let's just say there's two well-known ministries that if they decided to perform a gay wedding as a charismatic, spirit-filled church, I would be the least shocked person on planet Earth. So if Biden wins, you're going to see an increased pressure on churches to conform to the world and their beliefs. And I believe in the next 5 years, you would see the first charismatic church that caved. And, you know, under the guise of whatever, loving our neighbor, times of change, the church needs to see that we're inclusive, we build bridges and not walls, whatever they say, you would see the first charismatic, quote unquote, spirit-filled church perform a gay wedding. Number 12, no matter what, these next 5 years will be 5 years of revival. The next 5 years will be 5 years of revival. You can already see the greatest hunger that I've ever seen in America. These are meetings, and I've waited till enough time passed so that they can't trace any kind of COVID outbreak to it, which, by the way, these meetings were all held during the pandemic with packed auditoriums. One, we had to move to a bigger auditorium, and it's still packed out. Look at the hunger. You can keep my mic on when you show it. These are three different places, one in the Northeast, one in the Mid-Atlantic, and one in Texas. Look at the hunger. People driving in from 5 and 6 hours away, people flying in from other states. I'm going to show you three different regions of the nation, and I'm not a superstar, not even close to it. These are people where now the church was taken away from them, they appreciate what... People realize what they've lost, and they're not going to take it for granted, and they're pressing into God in America like never before. These next 5 years, prediction number 12, and it's already underway, will be 5 years of great revival. Go ahead and roll the first one.
In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that no evil shall befall any person. No sickness, no disease, no calamity, no failure, no depression, nothing, Father. I thank you that it's going to be only up and up from this moment forward in Jesus' name. I thank you from now until December 31st, 2020, we will live the best month that we have ever lived. I declare it for this house. I declare it for you. I declare it for your family. I declare it for your wallets. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father.
All kinds. Look at that.
These final 5 months of the year 2020, they'll be the greatest month.
That was with stay-at-home order.
Have ever had just to stick it to the devil. God's not through blessing you. He's just getting warmed up. Somebody shout it out. The best is yet to come. Say, I serve a great God. The church better wake up and realize this is the fourth quarter of planet Earth. It's
There's
not
Texas.
To lay down until the devil gives permission as to when we can preach again.
Probably triple what we started with Sunday morning.
With the Bible, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
People came in from everywhere.
Break the power of sin, baptize people in the Holy Ghost, and heal every sickness and disease. Take 30 seconds and put those anointed Texas hands together. Everything that represents a yoke of bondage, PTSD from military service, alcoholism, drug addiction, thoughts of suicide, an anger that burns in you that you can't control, every bondage in the name of Jesus, it is destroyed now by the efficacy of the anointing in Jesus' mighty name. With your hands lifted, just begin to thank God right now that you're coming out. You don't have to stay in it one more day. I said you don't have to stay in it one more day. He's a quick God. He's not a slow God. He's a lightning fast God.
And tons of people saved. People that didn't even know where they came from. Look at this one. We had to move it out of the sanctuary into the food distribution, the place they use for food distribution.
And
it's still packed out.
You're going to win the good fight of faith. And here,
totally packed. I didn't show any of this because it was in a state where you weren't supposed to be having...
You're not going down. You're going
gatherings. Nobody's sick. It's been 8 weeks now.
You're going to go greater. You're going to multiply. You're going to do great and mighty things, because the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Job chapter 42. And the Lord gave back to Job double everything that was taken from him. Don't get bogged down in the beginning of Job. Job ended 18 months later with twice as much as what he had.
That was probably quadruple what we started with on Sunday morning. And it grew all week.
That you've ever had. September, October, November, December. These are your months for the children of God, whether the devil likes it or not. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory.
So that's prediction number 12. These next 5 years are going to be revival years. No question about it. And it's already begun. Prediction number 13. The church will come under the most heavy persecution that it's ever come under. I don't know how much longer YouTube and Facebook are going to carry ministries. And when I say persecution, you can mark my words, it's going to become a legal matter before long for you to claim that you pray for this, you pray for the sick and they can expect to be healed by God. They're not going to say it's illegal to be a Christian. They'll give some example of somebody that prayed for somebody, they died and didn't get better, and they're going to say these people put people's lives in danger. That's one thing you can see from COVID. They're not going to say, they don't say it's illegal to be a Christian. They say these people meeting at church are a super spreader event for the virus. They're putting people's lives in danger. They're a harm to this world. They don't believe in climate change. They're against a woman's right to choose. They're holding things back, and that's what they're going to do. Their religion puts your safety at risk. And they must be shut down. We don't mind if you believe the Bible. We don't mind if you pray. But if you start telling people that they can be prayed for and God will heal them, that's fake. There's no scientific evidence of that. And if you teach and preach that, then we're going to strip, you know, Chase Bank will not do business with any church that says that. Bank of America won't. It's going to start going like that. That kind of persecution. And remember, anytime there's persecution, it's just simply God standing back to see who's going to bow to the pressure or who's going to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego it. Number 14, every effort to persecute and shut down the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will fail. So number 13, the heaviest persecution that's ever come in America. I mean, it's already in Canada and Europe. My brother-in-law in Canada had the police come into his Sunday morning service last week to make sure everyone was socially distanced and had masks on. In Canada, they've sent people home, just closed the whole church down mid-service in Canada. I think even in Stalin's Russia, they waited till the service was over to do stuff like that. But every effort will fail, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to write this down. The wickedness that's in the world can never be greater than the Christ that's in you. The wickedness that's in this world can never be greater than the Christ that's in you. There'll be three results or three courses of action people take as persecution ramps up. Number one, some will quit. We had to shut our church down because they made it illegal. You know, there was nothing we could do. That's called quitting. Number two, a second group will conform. Okay, you don't want us to say that people can be healed. That's fine. We won't say that publicly anymore. You know, we'll just say it privately. It doesn't have to be said on Facebook and YouTube. We understand. You don't want us to pray in tongues. Understood. No problem. Number two, some will conform so that the government allows them to stay open. And then number three, the third course of action, is some will decide to become their generation's Benson Idahosa, who told the Nigerian government that was going to seize his church property, "The government who tries to touch my church will fall before my church does." And they did. Persecution makes people stronger. Some people, anyway. I know I'm stronger now than I was in February. Shouldn't take persecution. But whatever the devil does has the opposite effect of the believer. So he intends to persecute to weaken, but it actually takes all the dross off and you come through as gold tried by fire. It brings out the purity of what God put on the inside of you. Good verse, Karen. Good verse, Marcy. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you thou shalt condemn." This is the inheritance of all who serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Number 15. 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. Number 15. Many who are in the faith will fall. There will be a great falling away. The Bible says, many will depart from the faith. That doesn't mean that the world will get more worldly and sinful, though it will. Many will depart from the faith. If I'm going to depart from Boston, Massachusetts, where do I have to have been? Boston, Massachusetts. So it's not talking about worldly people getting more worldly. It's talking about many that were once in the faith will depart from the faith. Matthew 25. 10 had their lamps filled with fire, oil and fire. As the master, as the bridegroom tarried his coming, 5 were foolish and their fire went out. Number 15. Many will fall away, and a wise person will keep a close watch on their life to ensure they don't go with the tide of those that fall away. I took my daughter to Siesta Key, Florida, to the beach when we were living in Florida this summer. And there was a strong current one day. If you sat still, you would end up probably close to a mile from where you put your towel, your blanket, and your cooler, wherever you camped down on the beach. If you sat still, you didn't have to do anything. The current just swept you away. You actually had to work to maintain your position. And that's how it is right now. All you'll have to do to go to hell and depart from the faith is nothing. Don't fast. Just do nothing. And the current of this world is very strong right now. It will sweep you into hell. If you don't do anything, you don't have to try to sin. If you just don't do anything, 5 years from now, you'll say, "What the heck just happened?" Because it's going to take a strength to constantly buck the spirit of this world. But God will give you the strength to do it. Number 15, many that are now in the faith will fall away in the next 5 years. And number 16 predictions concerning the next 5 years. Many who are away from God right now, who are lukewarm or who have never known the Lord, are going to get on fire for God. People that you thought would never make it. Children you have who are backslidden that it looks like they'll never serve the Lord. They're living with somebody. It's all you can do to muster up enough faith to pray for them. Maybe you've even given up on them. Many people like that, like the second thief on the cross, are going to come back to the Lord and serve God with a fire. I'll put it like this. Many that had a bad start to their race in life are going to finish their race strong in Jesus' name. Unlikely people. People that many had given up on. And I want to say to you in particular that are watching, how is your final chapter going to read? Is it going to be one that the bottom dropped out and you fell to the current of this world? Or are you going to make up your mind with me today that if Jesus tarries, I'm going to go on the best 5-year run I've ever had? The devil may have written the first part of your book, but he does not have the power to write the future chapters. You and God can write a glorious chapter to your life starting today. I want to ask you the most important question anyone can ever ask you. Have you ever given your life to Jesus Christ? And number two, since you've given your life to Jesus Christ, can you look me in the eye right now on the lens and say, I am living on fire for God? Or if you were honest with me, would you say, Jonathan, I've begun to let my fire go out, or my fire is out? Well, what are you going to do? You going to stay that way? Or would you let God on this Sunday morning relight your fire and say, from now till the coming of the Lord, I'm going to get rid of sin. I'm not going to allow sin to get rid of me. And I'm going to serve God with a fire. I'm going to be a part of this last day revival. I'm going to give my all to the Lord. If you say, Jonathan, I've never given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody shared this broadcast. You're seeing me for the first time. Or B, I've once given my life to the Lord, but I'm lukewarm. If I was honest, I've allowed the cold water of this world to make my hot water down to lukewarm. But I'm coming back today. I want you to pray with me right now. Say this out loud from your heart to God, and He'll hear you and answer this prayer. Say this out loud. Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I repent. I believe in my heart You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. I'm going to send you material I produced for people who just surrendered their life to the Lord. Go to revivaltoday.com and click. It's the most visible button. It says, I just got saved. Click that, fill it out completely, and I'm going to send you something to give you a proper welcome into the family of God. And let me tell you, congratulations, but I really want to hear from you. Go to revivaltoday.com. I want to hear who I prayed with. I have no way of knowing, you know. Go to revivaltoday.com and click, I just got saved. And then for those of you who are born again, you saw those videos that we played. We're going full speed ahead to see multiplied thousands of souls come into the kingdom. Primetime television all week, every week, covering the whole continent of Africa. And then across America on broadcast television, covering 60 million homes, plus our live preaching. I'm believing God to speak to 300 people during this 40 days of prayer and fasting who will sow a $1,000 seed to stand with us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and see its power change a generation that right now is on their way to destruction. Will you stand with me today? Anyone that sows a seed of any size, I'm going to send you these two books as a way to say thank you. Boldly I Come, Praying According to God's Word, maybe the best book on prayer there is, by Evangelist Kofi. And then America, Fasting for a Revival by Dr. Bob Rogers. For anyone that responds and says, I'm going to be one of the 300 that sow 1,000 or more, and the response has been great. Many have done more than 1,000 from their business and personally. And to say thank you, I'm going to send you the nicest thank you pack we've ever sent. The two books I mentioned before, plus The Art of Prayer by Kenneth Hagin, several more by Dr. Bob Rogers. My wife threw in a t-shirt from our ministry and then anointing oil from our ministry that you can have in the house to commemorate the 40 days of prayer and fasting we've done together. Thank you for doing that now on the Revival Today app. And then if you're watching on Facebook, thank you, Lovie. I'm not sure, Hakeem, whether I'm going to send it on my newsletter or not. If you're on Facebook, you can use hashtag donate. Thank you, Mary. You can text RT to 50155. In America, if you have Cash App, easy way to give. We're $RTGive. RT is in Revival Today. If you like PayPal, revivaltoday.com/PayPal. If all that's too confusing, the easiest way is to go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. It's got like 16 ways to give there, including cryptocurrency, about every legal way you can give. And then some people still prefer mail, which is fine. Make it out to Revival Today. Send it to P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. After you give, please take the second step. Thank you, Michael, for sowing 1,000. Means a lot. I pray 100-fold return on every seed today. Watch what happens when you put your seed in the ground of world evangelism. So after you do, claim your offer at revivaltoday.com. Claim your offer, because some ways that you give don't collect your information, and then there's no way to send a thank you. Then there's weirdness between you and I because you think I lied to you, which is not what I want. Thank you, Pam. Another $1,000 seed. Rob said, how do you pledge to give $1,000? We don't have a pledge form. You can write it down in your own Bible or whatever. That's between you and the Lord. And I'll say thank you in advance because I believe you. Love you too, Lori. Let me pray for a great return for every giver today and for every viewer in general. Father, thank you that our life is in your hands. Our future is not in the devil's hands or the world's hands. Our future and our destiny is in your hands. So we thank you that that ensures a glorious destiny for us. I pray that you'd show every viewer the path forward. In Jesus' name. Thank you that their leaves will never wither. Thank you that in everything they do, they prosper. Thank you that in every season they bear fruit. From now through December 31st, may they know the greatest financial harvest they've ever known. Every issue of concern, let it be erased today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it and I give you praise. All God's people said amen. Love you in South Africa. Have a great day in church. If you've already been to church, I hope you had a great day in church. We will check the news. We begin week 2 on national television tonight at 11:30 p.m. New York City time. Until then, I love you. Thanks for spending Sunday morning with me. I'll see you tonight. God bless you.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.